This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Everybody, welcome to another live stream from the Alisan Foundation team. I, of course, am your host, Yusha Evans, your hostess. Today will be Ahmed Danoon with our CEO and founder, Abu Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. How are you guys?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, all good, bro. Missing you guys. So, Mr. Ahmed Danoon, how are things going? What are the updates of, we just came from a very busy season with Qurban, and you guys did some stuff in Africa. What's going on?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. We've had a, you'd say, jam-packed month, subhanAllah. First and foremost, how was your Eid?
Alhamdulillah, it was all good. It was super hot here in Texas. You guys got to enjoy a nice, cool Eid in Australia, I'm sure, this time.
No, we
were in Lebanon. We were with
Lebanon. Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys were in Lebanon, but the rest of people in Australia.
Yes, yeah, subhanAllah. But it was a pretty warm one, though. It was actually a pretty warm one, subhanAllah.
Yeah, it was about 42, 43 here on Eid Day, so.
SubhanAllah. It's actually saying it's starting to get warmer and hotter up in the Northern Hemisphere as well. Is that right? Or it's starting to cool down now?
It depends on who you ask. It depends on who you ask.
That's fair enough, inshallah. But subhanAllah, no, it was an amazing experience, subhanAllah. We not only performed the Qurban that needed to be performed on the Eid days, leading up to the day of Eid, alhamdulillah, we went to Niger and we actually carried out the eye cataract operations there, alhamdulillah. And it was an amazing experience, subhanAllah. You've had children as young as 6 years old, who their eyes were kind of like cut manually by, some doctors. I use the word butchered when I was there. And Abu Ahmed, you mentioned, look, don't use that word, but that's what it felt like. They actually tried to cut the cataract out manually.
What?
With a knife, and the child had to actually be like operated on by a surgeon in order to save his eyes. SubhanAllah. And it was very, very sad to see children as young as 6 years old all the way to elderly experience cataract. We were able to, alhamdulillah, save his eye. This child, inshallah, is able to, grow up, work, provide for his family and other things. And that in itself, inshallah ta'ala, is a form of a sadaqah jariyah for anyone who's donated towards the eye cataract appeal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him more. So it was a It was all around, an amazing experience, subhanAllah. How many eye cataracts do you think we did, Abu Ahmed?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you, why not?
We, alhamdulillah, we've done 150 operations, alhamdulillah.
Oh, you got the... Yeah, I know he's got the joint. It's okay. So, alhamdulillah.
I wish I could have been there. I was missing you guys.
Yeah, subhanAllah. We were actually... There was a lot of points where we'd look around and say, you know what? If Yusha was here, he would do this, he would do that. He would... You know, subhanAllah, it was... you know what it's like? It's like when you have... Those triangles when there's like a missing leg, you know.
We said the same thing. We said the same thing about you when Abu Ahmed was here. So we eventually got to get the three musketeers together, inshallah.
That's it. Subhanallah.
My passport hopefully will be back in this week. I'll have it in hand, and then we can go wherever we need to go, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah, ta'ala. Wallah, it will be an amazing experience, inshallah. Like before, subhanallah. But the eye cataract itself, subhanAllah, it was just phenomenal, subhanAllah. The one of the first things we provided them, Brother Yusha, was a Quran as well as lunch. So the first thing that they were able to actually see is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that in itself, inshaAllah, is the starting of a sadaqah jariyah for anyone who wanted to assist with the eye cataract as well as enhancing their life as well.
And it's costing $110 Australian, which is peanuts for us. I think it's a bit cheaper in the US in terms of, I think their currency is higher than ours.
Mm-hmm.
But for something so small, for an amount so small to change someone's life forever, that's an amazing thing, subhanAllah.
Like if you imagine there was an old lady, I think, and she was speaking to me, and I think you've got your own story as well to tell with a certain sister, which I'll leave that story to you. But you've had women that or old women that have never seen their grandchildren before, and they've had cataract for 5, 10, 15 years.
Wow.
And by them being able to actually see, you know, their grandchild to walk without an aid, they're able to do things without, you know, someone holding their hand. You know, it's... it gets very emotional sometimes as well. It's not only for them, but also for yourself, because these little things that you don't actually think about, because alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with eyes. To us, it's second nature because we don't know anything different unless we've actually experienced some sort of, you know, issues with our eyes or any other form of inability to perform daily tasks or anything like that. But subhanAllah, like these sort of things, if you don't think about it, you being able to, for example, go to the kitchen to get a snack or the fridge, that in itself is a blessing because you don't have to rely on the next person to get it for you, subhanAllah.
But then again, people that are blind, as we all know, Brother Abu Hafsa, how he says it's all normal for him, even though he can't see. He's been blind, I think, all his life, correct?
Yeah, he was born without eyes.
Yeah,
correct, subhanAllah.
So he's able to adjust. That's from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
He took one thing away from him, but he's happy. He's fine. So I don't know. Just one thing I want to share with you mentioned the sister that I spoke to. Brother Yusha, 22-year-old sister. Imagine this, right? Young. You'd think, you know, she's got everything going for herself. She had cataract in both eyes. So she was bilateral. We had to operate on both of her eyes. Unfortunately, her husband left her. Okay, because she was blind, then her family rejected her. So literally due to this illness or this problem that she had, everyone had rejected her. So imagine now her getting her eyes operated on. We're hoping that her family will accept her back, and we're hoping that her husband or ex-husband, whether he divorced or just left her, Allahu alam, which one it was, but we're hoping that, you know, her life can go back to normal. Inshallah. Just in terms of just family. Imagine mother, father, brother, sister, everyone rejecting and walking away.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
Well, that's part of what we notice, especially being born and raised, most of us who grew up in a first world country, we see these, you know, small things as so trivial. Whereas, in a lot of places in the world, these things we see as kind of like a trivial necessity of life or an amazing luxury to some people. You know what I mean? Like, I remember I went to one place and they, you know, like these kids have never even like seen iPhones and stuff like that. And they're just like, wow, you know what I mean? Like, this is just... For us, it's an everyday necessity. We can't live without it. We can't go 5 minutes without it, you know, and we forget how ungrateful we are for some of those small things.
Yes, subhanAllah. It's just that, you know, it almost feels like they felt like a burden to life at one point of their life, or if they didn't feel it that whole way through until the surgery, subhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
It's just, it's unexplainable until you actually see it. Like, we took one, we took an ambassador with us, and he saw it for himself. As much as we'd educate him prior to the operation itself, he didn't actually understand the, you know, the miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, give the gift back of sight to somebody, how much effect it will actually give on that person, subhanAllah.
And the other thing is, like, the surgeon actually spoke to me and he said, look, we got so many people, like, in Africa and countries like this, due to the weather, due to the dust, due to injuries, due to so many elements that you know, they generally don't wear sunglasses and other things.
Mm-hmm.
This affects eyes. So there's so many people that need this simple operation to get their sight back, subhanAllah, and he's begging, basically saying, please continue, do more. We were actually supposed to go to Ethiopia and Niger, but the Ethiopian, they fell through.
Yeah, that's right. So inshallah, we hope to resume that sooner than later. The other issue that we've realized is there needs to be a lot of awareness with preventative care in those countries because of, as you mentioned, the dust, you know, and the sun and other things. So something as simple as sunglasses, you know, to prevent cataract and prevent, you know, eye issues and things like that. That is a task in itself, subhanAllah. But yeah, that alhamdulillah was actually an overall good experience, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we also fundraised during that time, and we were able to cover just over 1,143 eyes, inshallah. So that in itself, alhamdulillah, inshallah, we'll be able to assist, you know, that many people, inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala. With regards to Qurban itself, Brother Yusha, alhamdulillah, we founded a very successful campaign, alhamdulillah, with your help as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Alhamdulillah, we were able to carry out Qurban in numerous countries. You have the likes of Sri Lanka, Niger, India, Bangladesh, the Rohingya refugees, Yemen, Lebanon, the Palestinian and Syrian refugees, as well as Gaza, alhamdulillah. We were able to we had a we call it a trio package. We were able to we offered the people's Qurban, the Eid clothes, as well as breaking the fast of 30 people on the day of Arafah. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, we found that a very successful campaign, alhamdulillah. So instead of people just carrying out their Qurban, they were able to, as a saying goes, kill two birds with one stone, but in this case, three birds with one stone, alhamdulillah. So it was actually a really, really good initiative, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. How about yourself? Did you find anything? What was the feedback like from your side of the things as well, inshallah?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, I think the Qurban campaign went really well this year. Inshallah ta'ala, we can only do better next year. That's the goal, is that we try to do succeedingly better each and every year that we go at this. You know, we have a campaign, we learn from it, we look at the metrics, we look at the successes, we look at the things we could have done better, and we try to do better. That's the whole point of al-ihsan, right? Of having ihsan. Ihsan is always striving for excellence. So I think we did good, but I also know what we're capable of doing. And inshallah ta'ala, next year we'll try to double it and do it. Because I think we did do really well this year, and we helped a lot of people. Alhamdulillah, a lot of people were giving this Qurban meat, because it's you know, the whole point of Qurban is to help those who are in need. Apart from the side of that we do it for, you know, the following the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, where he was willing, you know, his willingness to sacrifice. So we remind ourselves of that during Qurban. There's always a spiritual element behind Eid al-Adha and giving Qurban. But apart from that, the people that benefit from it are the poor and the needy. So there's a, it's a dual-edged you know, type of act where we fulfill our act of right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and people get helped because of it.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And the other thing as well is that the amount of people that do not eat meat from year to year, just waiting on Eid al-Adha just in order to consume meat, is, subhanAllah, it's an amazing thing to, like, you don't actually realize until it actually happens, subhanAllah.
Yeah. We take that for granted, right?
Yeah.
We have meat, especially I know in the, I think Lebanese culture is very similar. There's some certain Arab cultures like you guys, like meat is three times a day. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I remember I stayed with some Yemeni brothers during when Ramadan in Chicago when I was doing itikaf in the masjid, and it's 4:30 in the morning, we're having suhoor, and they're bringing whole lambs in. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, man, it's way too early for this. You know what I mean? Like, we take meat for granted, whereas in other places in the world, meat is a rarity. And even from the sunnah of our Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not have, you know, the opportunity to eat meat that much, even though he loved it himself. I think it was Aisha radiallahu anhu radaha said that there would be months and months would go by in their house where a fire was not lit, meaning that no meat was cooked. And they were just literally living off like bread and date and milk and things of that nature. So we take it for a luxury. And we probably eat too much meat.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think the red meat, people tend to overly consume it sometimes, subhanAllah, in the actual Western, like in our culture here as well in Australia and in the Western Hemisphere sort of thing. As you mentioned, like numerous times a day as opposed to, you know, a couple of times a year, if that for other countries or other people that were not that are not privileged to consume it as much, subhanAllah.
May Allah make it easy.
Did you have any, I mean, Yarab, did you have any experiences yourself, like people approaching you about that yourself?
All the time. Even in Lebanon, people were basically, I know it's the wrong word to use, but begging, saying, you know, we need more. You know, it's a lot of unrest between the people lining up, you know, getting a bit more aggressive and things like that. You're starting to notice that. But mind you, we all know even Western countries now are going backwards. I've heard reports of the US as well. A lot of people are starting to become more homeless, you know, less money in the pocket.
Yeah, it's a huge problem here in America. And inflation has risen to the point where it's outdone wages, and homelessness in America is becoming a mega crisis. There's cities in America, I see videos all the time of like, just, you feel like they've turned into like just desolate, you know what I mean? Like just homeless camps everywhere, all over the place. And that's, you know, something that the Western world hasn't seen in a long time.
Definitely. Australia, we know for a fact, like the last year or so, we're starting to see a lot of this happening as well. Interest rates going up, a lot of people can't afford rent. Like rent here has gone crazy. House could go anywhere from 700 to 850 just for a basic place. Something a bit more nicer, you're looking at about 1,000, 1,100 and going up. That's the wages.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's happening. And It's so we're going to see more need in especially in the coming, I would say at least next coming couple of years, there's going to be a greater need for the services that we offer, not only globally, but we're going to start having to see these projects be enacted locally, you know, here in the United States and in Australia and other places. Like there, I drive by, there's a place that I go where I have to drive this little country road. I think I took you down a couple of times, Abu Ahmed, and there's a food bank there. And I drove, I think it was a couple of Saturdays ago, I was driving by there, and that's when they're open, they have a food bank. And the amount of line of people that I saw at a food bank, think people that you would think, you know, the way they're dressed and the kind of cars they're driving, you would think like these people don't need anything. But in reality, you know, like they're probably just barely making enough money just to pay their bills, pay their mortgage, keep the lights on. There's nothing left over, or they're paying for medicine or insurance, and they're having to choose between that and eating. So they're ending up at food banks.
Yes,
I think it's a growing epidemic that we don't realize because it's slipping under the radar.
But I guess, look, all organizations, all charity organizations need to take this on board. You know, what's the next steps when people can't donate? What do we do as organizations to keep our, you know, work moving forward and to help the people? So they're things we have to deeply think about and, you know, move forward with, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah. With the Qurban itself, we had, you know, on the day of Arafah, alhamdulillah, we broke the fast of the people who fasted on the day of Arafah, alhamdulillah. through the generous donors and contributors, alhamdulillah, we worked out that 87,262 people would have benefited from the iftar on the day of Arafat.
So nearly 90,000 people benefited from everyone who donated to Al Ehsan Foundation. That and I'm just saying that for the audience to understand the impact that you have, because a lot of times, you know, people will, especially in today's world, people will look at, you know, we want to raise these big funds, right? And they'll come to the website and be like, oh my God, these guys are trying to raise like $70,000-$80,000 and I barely am getting by. Never, ever, ever belittle a good deed. Never belittle a good deed. Even if you give $5, you know what I mean? If you give $1, it is not about the amount. It's about the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts behind the intended effort. You know what I mean? You can have, and I've seen this many times before, you can have someone give $10,000 to a campaign and they do so with haughtiness or arrogance, and there's very little barakah behind that money. You watch it just disappear, and then you have like four or five sisters who will gather together and come up with a few $100 scraped between them, and they put it forward, and it has such barakah. So really, it's the intention that's behind it. So never belittle any good deed. If you see us put forward these campaigns and you feel like, you know, I'm struggling myself, one of the best ways to help yourself out of struggles is to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it shows gratitude for what little that you do have, and then Allah increases you and blesses you in that.
I just wish I could bring a few of the people that give and they continue to give and Allah just keeps giving him back. I wish if I can actually convince the person to come online, because there's a few of them or the people and they can tell their own story. Wallahi, they keep telling me, look, I put this when I was in need and then Allah gave me back. You know, one brother mentioned he had the last, I think, $12,000. He gave it all for Allah's sake, and Allah next day gave him $120,000.
Yeah,
it's so many people.
I remember Sheikh Haytham Al Haddad one time, he was saying, we were talking about a fundraiser I was doing for MRDF, and he was like, you can't outgive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what I mean? Like, you are, if you are in competition to give for the sake of Allah, you're always going to find yourself on the winning side of that scenario, because you cannot outgive Allah. We know this from the stories of like Abdurrahman ibn Auf. You know, I mean, if you read the stories of like Abdurrahman ibn Auf and how much he used to sometimes try to avoid getting stuff back, he would be like, I could not go anywhere without Allah returning me his favors. You know what I mean? Like, he would give away all his wealth many times over and it would all come back to him.
Yeah, definitely. I was speaking to one brother after Ramadan. He goes, bro, you gave that talk. I gave such and such, and I got nothing back. Then I'm thinking, you know, these people need to rethink the air that you're breathing, the sight that you have, the hearing that you have, all these blessings. It doesn't mean wealth in terms of physical money only. There's so many different things.
You don't know what you don't know. That's what I tell somebody. You never know what sometimes you give in the sake of Allah, and you never know what catastrophe has been diverted from you. Maybe that was in your path. Maybe it was a sickness, an illness, a disease, something that was coming your way that you now diverted through the efforts that you've given for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never know what's been moved out of your path simply for giving for the sake of Allah. It doesn't always mean, okay, I'm going to write a $1,000 check today. I'm going to sit at home and wait for the $10,000 check to show up in the mail. It's not always the way it works. But we do know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he would only take an oath about a few things relating to this world. And one of them was, man naqasu malu min sadaqa. You cannot decrease your wealth in giving charity. He swore by it. He said, I will take an oath that you cannot decrease your wealth in giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that is if you give it sincerely. If you give it sincerely. If you look at it as a transaction, like, oh, I'm going to give just to make more, you might not see the same results. But give it solely for the sake of Allah and watch what happens to your life.
SubhanAllah. I think it comes down to also the one's intent. That's, you could say, rule number one sort of thing.
Of course. And so, don't forget the hereafter. I mean, we're working in dunya, but really it's all for the hereafter. So regardless whether, this is me personally, whether I get in this dunya or not, you're thinking about the hereafter. I want the higher levels in Jannah.
You might even get the reward in this life and there'll be nothing for you in the next life if the intention is wrong. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَلُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Everything is based on accordance and intention. That's it. On the day of judgment, Allah will only judge our actions based on what they were intended for. That's it.
That's correct. SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah, so with going back to Day of Arafah, alhamdulillah, we found that an amazing initiative, alhamdulillah. There are stories out there that people that are forced to fast, or is that the right, I don't know if that's the right word to say, but they don't actually have any food to break their fast,
yeah.
Or to or to eat like the normal, their daily meals and things like that. So they're forced to fast in saying that as well. So the day of Arafah would have assisted the likes of those sort of people in you know, in Lebanon that we assisted, alhamdulillah. We not only provided staple food to areas that we can actually provide and they would actually cook at home the food, we also provided hot meals to other areas that did not have the amenities to actually cook any food and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to hit on both ends, so that way we could try to maximize the amount of food that we can actually break people's fast with on the day of Arafah, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So we found that we found that a successful initiative, alhamdulillah.
Muharram.
What is it?
The month of Muharram is coming.
It is coming, and it's the day of Ashura, which we'll get to in a moment. But I wanted to bring up when we went to Africa and we gave our Eid clothes to children, and it was in what, 50 degree heat. Alhamdulillah, we were able to, we raised enough to provide 2,171 clothes to children. Alhamdulillah. When we went to Africa, it was like 50 degree heat, would you say?
It was hot.
A very hot day. It was a very, very hot day that day, subhanAllah. And there was that many children that were trying to get through at the same time. And alhamdulillah, it was a successful day, I'd say.
We had our brother Steve with us, subhanAllah. I think it's the first time he could he handled this heat and, you know, just the emotions running through his veins and everything. Like I noticed, he had just walked away. He said, you know, I can't deal with this. I think the emotions, the heat. So he went into the masjid to look for some water. SubhanAllah, what does he do? I went I followed him just to make sure he's okay. So I saw his head pop out the window. Then he came out. He looks at me and goes, Abu Ahmed. I go, yeah, bro. He goes to me, where's the water? Like, he started freaking out. He thinks it's so easy just to get water. We drove for 2.5 hours down, you know, in the desert. There's no corner shops. You know, it's like we have to deal with this. Look at the people. That's what they have to deal with. So it's fine. Like, again, know, Western people going and just
turn on a faucet.
Through these emotions. So,
yeah. For us, we can just go turn on a faucet. Simple as that.
Yeah. There's no taps of water or anything like that. Even if we had got water from like a water well, if there was around, you know, a water well around, I don't think he would have drank. You know, the water would have been so dirty and other things. So, subhanAllah. You know, look what we're living through compared to what they're living through, subhanAllah.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
Yep. But we are in the last couple of days of Dhul Hijjah, right? Like, literally, last couple of days of the Islamic year 1444, right? 1444, the very last. So we have the month of Muharram approaching, which is an auspicious month, right? Like, this is one of the holy months. This is one of the months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deemed to be holy. So what are we doing in the month of Muharram?
Alhamdulillah, we found the day of Arafah a very successful initiative, as I was just mentioning before. So we wanted to do a similar initiative for the day of Ashura.
We did start it last year as well.
Yeah, that's right. But this year we wanted to do things a little different and go bigger. As you mentioned before, Yusha, you know, every year we try to improve ourselves and aim higher and do better, inshallah. And obviously this is one of the years that we strive to do that.
But you might have some people that are watching that have no idea what the day of Ashura is about.
Yeah, that's right.
Like the confusion, people said, what's this day? I've never heard of it. Like, you know, even throughout, like us growing up, we knew about it. Just unfortunately, this next generation is popping up. Whether it's these 30-second, actually now on YouTube, Facebook are saying do 15-second clips. So your education of Islamic knowledge can't come from these little, you know, reels and stories and stuff like that, yeah. So, yeah, people are asking, what's this day? You're talking about Yom Arafah, but like, no. There's another day that we do also gain so many rewards by getting, you know, your previous year's sins leaving by just fasting that one day.
So what is, who would like to?
We would like you to mention the
I was going to ask you guys. Aren't I supposed to be the host? Well, what it is Musa alayhi salam, he freed the people of Israel, children of Israel, from Pharaoh. And alhamdulillah, we celebrate That by fasting not only one day, but the 2 days of Ashura, so the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and the 11th.
So basically, when the Prophet ﷺ came into Medina, he noticed that the local Jewish people, they were actually
they fasted on that day.
He mentioned, "What's this?" And they said, "You know, this is a great day. This is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, from Pharaoh." So they fasted that day, and Musa alayhi salam also fasted that day. So he said, "You know, we're closer to them than Musa. We're closer to Musa than them." So he chose to fast that day, and he said, "If I was to live another year, yeah, I would add 1 day, which meaning the 9th of Muharram there."
Yeah, that's correct. So we fast the 9th and the 10th. So it's one day before and on the day, and the day after. Is that right?
There's ikhtilaf, khalas. We'll just keep it in terms of, even if someone just fasts on that day.
It's more recommended to fast on the day of Ashura, and then there's some difference of opinion about the day before or day after. But
and even some ulama mentioned the day before and
so the day after.
The 9th and the 11th with the 10th.
Oh, yeah. All right, that's fair enough. Now, we have an estimated date, because as you mentioned before, Yusha, is that we're still in Dhul Hijjah. Mm-hmm. So we haven't actually entered Muharram to know the exact, but we have an estimated day of next Thursday and next Friday, the 27th and the 28th of July.
Yeah, that's what is estimated, depending on whether Dhul Hijjah goes 29 or correct. 30 days.
Correct, that's right. So it's depending on moon sighting, inshallah. And on those 2 days, we intend to break the fast of the fasting over those 2 days, on the Thursday and on Friday.
How many people are we shooting for?
We're trying to shoot for 100,000 people, inshallah.
But unfortunately, due to the lack of knowledge, I don't think people understand the reward. Like, you know, again, going back to the point of breaking the fast of somebody, knowing that, you know, if you give, and we're talking about $80 to feed how many? 30 people?
30 people.
You know, you're going to get the reward of these 30 people of their fast. Let's just say you couldn't fast. You know what I mean? Due to sickness, laziness, work, whatever it may be. You know, but you intend to give out, you're going to get the reward of
and
these
that's,
people.
And that's,
reward.
Yeah. And that's 80 Australian. So that's even a cheaper price in the United States and even cheaper in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, that's great. That's roughly works out to be about, $50?
About $50 US and maybe about 35. I don't remember the exact ratio now, but maybe about 35 pounds, something like that.
And to be honest with you, going into countries and when they see that we remember them, and this is the message that we always give, inshallah, one day when you're out with us and, you know, you present a talk like that to the people, you know, when they look at you, like when we're in Niger, and I was talking to them and I'm saying to the people, look, there's no difference. It doesn't matter, you know, my skin is white, yours is black, whatever it is, we're one. We're an ummah, you know, we're one nation. There's no difference, subhanAllah. And their eyes just open up and you see the smiles automatically, you know, come on their faces and, you know, they feel that love. Because we've come all this way. We don't know you, but we're helping you.
Yep.
This is what Allah teaches us. We're one ummah. We help.
That's it. Inni hadihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. Your ummah is one ummah. That's it. We are one nation. We are one people.
I think the other issue is as well is that people or poor people are generally forgotten about straight after Qurban.
Definitely.
They don't see a lot of us again till winter, till it gets cold.
Yeah, that's right. Or until Ramadan, basically, if there's no...
Depends on the country, because places correct. Like Africa, it's not cold there. So
we don't see them again until Ramadan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So us providing them with, you know, breaking their fast or meals or things like that, it does actually alleviate some sort of suffering from them, because some people, you know, live from meal to meal or day to day, trying to work out how to... You know, where their next meal is coming from and things like that. And, you know, for, as you mentioned, the ones that are fasting or the ones that are not fasting, you know, it does take a lot of pressure off them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually an initiative that we should all, inshallah, put our hands to. It's $80, breaks a fast of 30 people, inshallah.
All right, so where do they need to go to help?
Yeah, they can make a donation through alahsan.org.au, and they can make a donation accordingly. Inshallah, as you may have mentioned before, it's only $80 Australian, which is about $50 American or £35, I think, I believe you made mention of.
Yep, and I put the link as well on my Twitter. The link is on my Twitter. The link is on my Instagram post. The link is on my Facebook. So you can find the direct links, inshallah.
No worries, inshallah. Zakla khair for that. And the good thing is that, inshallah, we want to provide everybody with nourishing meals, as we generally do, to not only break the fast, but also obviously provide them with healthy food for them to be able to, nourish themselves, if that's the right word to use, inshallah ta'ala. So this is over 2 days. So it's not only the 1 day. We want to obviously break their fast over 2 days, over the Thursday estimated and the Friday. 9th and 10th of Muharram, inshallah.
Inshallah. So for those of you who want to participate in that, we're literally only like a week away, a little bit over a week away. Please make sure you go to the links. Go to alhassan.org.au and click on the fundraisers link. You'll see the link for Ashura there, or you can also go to my social medias. I'm sure they're probably on the Alhassan Foundation social medias as well. So just go to one of our social medias and find the link and donate right away, so that we can do this. For literally, you can feed 30 people for 80 Australian, 50, around 50 US, and around 30, I mean, UK, that's like a pound a person, you know what I mean? Or less than $2 a person in the United States. You can feed 30 people on this auspicious day. And this is an auspicious day. It is a day where you can get the sins forgiven for the following year. Like, that's a lot. For most of us, we could use it. You know what I mean? Most of us. I'm speaking for myself. Like, we could use this forgiveness of these sins. And maybe you're a person who might not, as Abu Ahmed was saying, maybe you might not be able to fast. Maybe you might not be able to do this. To feed another person, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever breaks the fast of a fasting person, it is as though they fasted themselves. You know, so this is something that you can gain the reward, inshallah.
Inshallah. Now, would you be in a country during this time, or would you be here in Australia?
I'll be in Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka, it's going to be nice and hot, inshallah. I was hoping that I could come with you on this one. For those of you in the States, you know how the passport issue is right now. Hopefully, I'll have it back very soon. The next trip, I will be on it, inshallah, ta'ala, no matter where it's at. If it's cooler, then that'll be even better. But we'll go wherever we go, inshallah. As you can see from this little thing right now, it's 8 o'clock at night and it's still 40 degrees outside.
Yeah. Well,
so it's Texas is heating up at the moment. But what is it that we have that we want to do going forward? Is improve every aspect of what do we do, right? That is the whole function behind the Alhassan Foundation, is to get better with each and every campaign. But we can't do that without the support of the people, like the people who are watching, all of the donors, all the people who give. Those are the people who make what we do possible, right? Like, we can't do that without them. Like, we are literally, at the behest of people who want to give. So we want to thank everyone who's given to the project, who gave during Ramadan, who gave during Qurban, who have given during this Ashura campaign. Stay tuned for our upcoming campaigns or emergency appeals, winter appeal, because we plan to, inshallah ta'ala, get better and better with each one.
Inshallah ta'ala. Well, if it's not for their support, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them, each and every one of them. SubhanAllah, and no matter what they donate, whether it's, $1 or $100 or $1,000, every little bit counts. You know, as I say, mountains are made out of pebbles. So no matter how much they give, it's assisting no matter what they do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them.
100%. We have to be gratitude to the people. Man la shukur Allah, la la shukur al-nas. Who he was not thankful to the people is not thankful to Allah. So we have to, be grateful for the people who want to support and continue to allow us to do what it is that we do.
Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them once again, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for your time, Brother Yusha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. I know we took a bit out of your time. You mentioned...
It's fine, my time belongs to you guys, and it belongs to this is what we do. Like, it doesn't matter what time of day or night it is. If an emergency appeal happens and all of us have to be up 2-3 o'clock in the morning to get things done, that is what it takes. We do what it takes, inshallah ta'ala. I know I'm gonna let Abu Ahmed go get some rest, let him rest his throat from whatever Danny brought back with him from his vacation. Super spreader over here, bro.
In my defense.
In your defense. There's no... All right, inshallah. But I look forward to speaking with you guys again soon. Look forward to seeing everybody on another live. Again, this is something we plan to try to at least do this once a month, where we come on and do a live stream. Even if we have, you know, like really nothing going on, even a campaign, we just want to do a talk and update people on what's going on and what we're doing and just have some chit chat and stuff like that. We plan on doing that at least once a month, inshallah ta'ala. So stay tuned to that. There will be no regular schedule for that because there's no telling where we might be in the world and when we can connect and get together. But we look forward to doing that. And as soon as I get my passport, you guys can look forward to seeing me live from somewhere else other than Texas in the world, inshallah. This is the longest time I've ever been, other than the pandemic. The pandemic aside, that's a whole other time. But this is one of the longest times I've been without traveling anywhere. And it's just really starting to bother me. So I'm looking forward to getting my passport, inshallah.
Inshallah, ta'ala. Looking forward to traveling with you as well, inshallah.
Look forward to it. All right, guys. Everybody who's watched, may Allah bless you. May Allah reward you guys. May Allah grant you peace in your homes, your mind, your hearts, and your souls. And we look forward to seeing you guys on the next one, inshallah. Abu Ahmed and Danoon, just stay for like 30 seconds. So I have a chat with you guys. But for the audience, we will see you guys on the next one. May Allah bless all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam.